Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first, my good evening and welcome to Update, where we'll go through the main news of the day before 5:30. So coming up in the next half hour, a major review of the island's health and social care system has delivered its verdict. An independent report says it's not operating as well as originally intended. We'll hear what that means from the department's interim chief officer and also from Manx Care. Also tonight, the first results are in from the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit consultations. We'll get reaction from the Infrastructure Minister. In Tynwald, the Bishop's vote was back under debate in the Legislative Council. We'll bring you the latest from the Chamber. And are we doing enough to tackle the island's dilapidated buildings? All that, the traffic and the travel as well. If you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the day's main news headlines with Darren Timpson. Fastamai.
An independence report has found that the current health and social care model in the Isle of Man is not operating as well as originally intended following the establishment of Manx Care. It's found that the size and scale of the island, along with its governance and funding structures, have limited the ability of the health body to fully function as an independent arm's length body. Public sector workers could see an increase in the level of pensions provided by the government. Amendments being proposed by the Public Sector Pensions Authority, if approved by Tynwald, would see an increase in the benefits of members' contributions. A bill which would see the bishop lose their vote in Tynwald will return to the House of Keys. At its sitting this morning, the Legislative Council agreed to amendments of the Constitution Bill, which could see the current bishop retain her vote for another 5 years or until the end of her tenure. There have been some changes to the proposed new 20-mile-per-hour zone in Douglas and Onchan following a consultation. Groves Road and Tremode Road in Douglas will remain at 30 miles per hour. So too will the section of Victoria Road from Glencutry Road to Victoria Crescent. Meanwhile, a section of Whitebridge Road in Onchan will be lowered to 20 miles per hour. In international news, 13 inmates a month are being accidentally released from prisons in England and Wales. Justice Secretary David Lammy, who's being questioned by MPs about the blunders, says the UK government must bear down on the numbers. The outgoing BBC boss has admitted mistakes cost a corporation as Donald Trump threatens a $1 billion lawsuit. It's over a panorama edit appearing to show the president inciting violence. And the mastermind of the UK's largest cryptocurrency seizure has been jailed for more than 11 and a half years. Chinese national Jumin Qin, who's 47, was caught with Bitcoin worth over £5 billion. She'd spent nearly 5 years on the run. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's been utterly miserable today, and it's going to be wet and windy to start this evening. Rain still heavy at times. There's still that yellow weather warning for heavy rain until 9 p.m. It will clear later this evening. It will become dry, and the southwest wind will ease as well, so you maybe can get out in the garden. Dry with clear spells overnight, minimum temperatures of around 10, and then tomorrow, dry with sunny spells and light winds, but rain will move in again from the south during the evening. Maximum temperatures tomorrow around 14 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
Canals Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years. Supplying homegrown wheat, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Canals on Facebook.
Direct cremation is just that, an affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478422.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. And as we just heard in the headlines, an independent report has found that the current health and social care model on the Isle of Man is not operating as well as originally intended. So it's found that the size and scale of the island, along with its governance and funding structures, have limited the ability of Manx Care to fully function as an independent arm's length body. So this report has outlined 4 strategic options to try and rectify these issues. They are full implementation of the Sir Jonathan Michael Independent Review recommendations, strengthening the partnership between Manx Care and the DHSC, doing nothing, or scrapping Manx Care altogether. Now, the latter two are not seen as viable, and Siobhan has been talking to the Department of Health and Social Care's Interim Chief Officer, Professor Tim O'Neill.
My reading of the report, it's obviously an independent report, is that the do nothing, given the strength of the recommendations in the rest of the report, would be an odd recommendation to move forward with, but it's a member decision, that's not mine. And then there's a line in the report which describes pretty clearly there's very little interest in moving back to a fully integrated model, back into reintegration into government.
The two preferred ones, so fully implementing the Sir Jonathan Michael report, why has it not been fully implemented already? Is it been half done? Is it not working? Why is that now an option on the table?
I think it's a stopping off point. I think it's 4.5 years since we started. It's the right time to review and have a look at it. The motion's very helpful to push us in that direction. And any governance structure with this kind of complexity, I think it's right to look at it externally and have a look at what's working and what could be improved. And I think the report makes some clear recommendations.
And then in terms of making that partnership closer, does that not kind of undermine the original idea of separating out the two?
Not necessarily. There's lots of different ways to implement an arm's length arrangement. I think that the report makes that pretty clear. From my point of view, as the Chief Officer Interim, it's about coming up with the right set of arrangements that are right for this island. So it's helpful that we can look at more bespoke ways of doing things to achieve that.
Time and time again, we hear Manx Care's not working. It is an option there. I know it's not the preferred option, but at what point is government going to have to think about putting its hands up and say it's not working, we need to scrap it?
Yeah, I think for me, my reading of it is about the model of delivery. So there'll be hard choices. There always are. There always will be. And I think, again, this report helps us just to amplify some of those. I think the model is secondary to the hard choices we need to make, but also let's make sure we spend the money we have got incredibly wisely.
And I mean, money's the question. So the idea here that this report is going to go before Tim Wald at the tail end of this year with the aim of reporting back in February, obviously February being budget month. I mean, how is that all going to factor in?
We're going to be busy. I think the logic of bringing all that together is a sound one. Yeah, my officers know that's going to be much of their time spent doing that over the next 2 or 3 months, working really closely with Manx Care. But as I said before, bringing the budget, the strategy and the longer-term plan together in one conversation seems to make sense to me.
That's the DHSC Interim Chief Officer, Professor Tim O'Neill, talking to Siobhan there. Much more to that interview. You can find it in full as a Manx newscast. Well, we did obviously contact Manx Care for comment on the contents of that report, and it's given us the following statement. Manx Care welcomes the opportunity to review governance arrangements and reflect on how effectively the current delivery model is working as we continue striving to provide sustainable, high-quality services for the people of the Isle of Man. It goes on to say the report confirms that Manx Care as a delivery model is the right model and notes that stakeholder interviews have highlighted notable improvements to health and social care services since Manx Care's establishment. It concludes by saying that Manx Care welcomes this review and supports greater partnership working with DHSC and wider government, which will enable our health and care system to operate with greater quality and efficiency, achieving improved outcomes for the population we serve. And you can find all of those details at manxradio.com. 5:08. Well, the issue of the bishop's vote was back in the Legislative Council today. We talked about this on the programme last night. Now, if they'd just accepted the third reading of the Constitution Bill, that would have been the end of it. But there is now more to come because LegCo agreed an amendment to the bill at its sitting this morning. It came from Gary Cluett, and what it would see is the bishop lose the vote 5 years after the bill receives royal assent, or at the end of the current bishop's tenure, whichever comes first. So this change means the proposals will have to be considered again by MHKs before it can be sent for royal assent. Political correspondent Phil Gorn has this report.
A bill which seeks to remove the bishop's vote in Tynwald passed through its final stage in Legislative Council this morning. Opponent of the bill, Paul Crane, MLC, is concerned about some of the unforeseen consequences of the bill.
The extent to which that will destabilise our community. I think that may be greater than many people have imagined. You know, you get the old saying about the flap of a butterfly's wing in one place causes a hurricane elsewhere. These small events that lead to big changes, you know, okay, in its own way, you could see this as a small event. In another sense, this is a massive change for the Isle of Man, for its history and heritage.
Gary Clue at MLC succeeded in adding a new clause which introduces clarity on when the bill will come into effect. That will be either 5 years after royal assent is granted or when the bishop retires, whichever is sooner. Mr. Clewitt explains what happens next.
If Keyes amends what we did, then yes, it will come right back to LegCo. If they remove the amendment entirely, my belief is that it then just goes for royal assent. And then we're back to like none of this ever happened, which I think would be it would present some difficulties going down the road, because again back to the uncertainty about timing, the legislative agenda over the next several months, the potential fallout from, you know, the unintended or unknown consequences of what this might do if it just went through without any commencement date.
That's Gary Clue at MLC ending that report from Phil. So it's back to the House of Keys with this bill to see what happens next. And we'll bring the details as soon as we have them. 5:11. So plans for new 20-mile-an-hour speed limits in residential areas around the Isle of Man, I think it's fair to say, have been one of the hottest topics of the year. And this morning, the results of the first round of consultations covering Douglas and Onchan have been published. There were nearly 1,500 responses sent to the DOI from 558 individuals, resulting in four changes to the proposals. Chanel has been talking to Infrastructure Minister Dr. Michelle Haywood.
It's slightly disappointing. There are still some misunderstandings. There were a significant number of people who did comment about a blanket proposal, and it's never been a blanket proposal. It's always been a set of criteria. There are 24 roads, and actually four of those roads we've dealt with in parts. So 28 locations effectively where we've been back, and because of the weight of comments that were made, or because the comments came from the fire brigade or Bus Van Inn or from local authorities, we've re-evaluated the data for those roads.
We understand three roads which were meant to move from 30 mile per hours to 20 will remain at 30. That's Groves Road, Victoria Road and Tremode Road.
Yeah, it's just part of Victoria Road. So Victoria Road is one of those I spoke about that we split it. We recognise the characteristics at the top end of Victoria Road are different to those at the Broadway end of Victoria Road. And so we've split Victoria Road into two. Quite clearly, the lower end as you approach Broadway meets the criteria for being a 20 mile an hour road, whereas the top end can be sustained at 30.
Whitebridge Road in Onchan, that will be moved to 20 mile per hours from 30.
Yes, it's a small section. It was going to change to 20 anyway. We'd proposed by Ballacrink Road, and we've actually moved that, imposing the 20 back, so it covers the junction of Windermere Drive onto Whitebridge Road, because we recognise how difficult it is sometimes for vehicles to get out of that junction safely. There have been requests for mirrors to be placed there, and the Onchan commissioners, when we spoke to them, were quite aware of lots of very near misses on the pedestrian crossing that's there, and so they'd requested that that zone be pulled back a little bit further to try and slow down the traffic before you get to that pedestrian crossing. So in order to get the revised traffic order through, we've published new maps, and so those are online and you can view those maps. You can zoom in and see where the changes are.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, talking to Chanel. Again, all the details on the Manx Radio website. 5:13, and some news released in the past hour now. Public sector workers could see an increase in the level of pensions provided by the Manx government. Now, Tim Wald will be asked to approve changes to public sector pension schemes in December's sitting, and these amendments being proposed are as a result of the Public Sector Pensions Authority's cost-sharing valuation, which took place in 2022. Chief Executive Kath Brondon and Chair Jerry Carter have been explaining what the proposed changes actually are.
The changes that we're proposing proposing is to increase the level of public sector pension, so increase the rate at which pension is accrued at, and also reduce contributions. And this has come about from a cost-sharing evaluation that the PSPA has undertaken, which looks over a set period of time how the changes in the cost of providing a pension have increased or decreased. This latest cost-sharing valuation has shown that there has been a decrease in the cost of pensions, and hence that decrease has resulted in a saving. And the PSPA, after considering and consulting with its various stakeholders, has determined that that saving will be passed on to scheme members, and by way of reducing contributions and increasing the level of pension.
Why was that decision made?
There were two reasons behind that. The first was that if we decreased the benefits significantly, that would have been a significant reduction in Treasury cash flow at a time when the budget's very tight. And secondly, we felt that we wanted to avoid what we would call the roller coaster effect, where if the cost sharing results in a big decrease this time and it results in a big increase next time, for example, that you could have a situation where members of the schemes don't have any certainty as to what their contributions are going to be. The analogy is, you know, every month you pay your mortgage, you pay your pension contributions, and you budget for them because you know what they are. And now, if there are huge fluctuations in them, it makes it very difficult and very unfair on people to have to adjust their budget. So we try to iron out the bumps, as it were, and keep it on an even keel.
So when it comes to the decrease we've seen, how confident are you that it is as a result of the reforms that have been put in place, or actually the state of the island's economy?
We'd like to say it's down to the reforms, but I think a factor is the state of the island's economy. It's a combination of the two. But the state of the island's economy, particularly in relation to things like salary growth not matching the assumptions, that would be a factor that has affected this. So it's a combination of both, really.
That's Jerry Carter, and before that, Kath Brunden, both talking to Amy. Much more on this at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing specific on the police pages this evening. There is a lot of standing water, though, because obviously it has been raining all day, and it is continuing to rain a little bit out there, so just take care on the way home in the most prone locations. All okay down at the airport, pretty much, with all the flights. But as we know, the steam packet affected by the weather today. There's no sailing back from Heysham, and obviously then that means there's no sailing to Heysham this evening, so the next one will be 1:45 tomorrow morning.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside!
It's 17 minutes past five. There are still 935 MyCard users who haven't switched to an alternative payment method yet. Now, this card service, which allows people to collect their benefits or pension in cash at Isle of Man post office branches, will be shut down at the end of the year. In June, there were 1,536 registered users, and a number of concerns have been raised about options for those without bank accounts. But Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Allenson says his department is also working on a three-month contingency plan.
The first letter was sent to the 1,536 MyCard users on the 23rd of June this year. Second letter was then sent on the 25th of September, and the third letter is being sent to the 935 remaining MyCard users today. All those people who are currently using the MyCard scheme have the option to use their bank if they have a bank account, but if they don't, Treasury's position is quite clear, and I have expressed that in terms of working on alternative payment solutions for those who cannot open a bank account. We are working with commercial entities to deliver secure alternatives should people for whatever reason not be able to access a bank account.
Can we not just extend the contract with MyCard? I just don't think this is working, you know, in terms of the social good that it offers and the savings that it's purported to provide government.
It is a commercial contract with the Isle of Man Post Office that comes to an end at the end of December. I understand, and I've already said in another place, that to extend that we would have to issue new cards to all those current recipients, which has considerable cost. And I understand that there is a motion before Tim Wald next week in terms of the MyCard contract overall, and I'll wait for the obvious debate on that. We are in the process of arranging a three-month contingency facility to look at making sure that people can get their cash payments as required, and I will commit to make absolutely certain that all those benefit recipients who do not have access to a bank account and need access to their benefits in cash get exactly what they need over this period. What I would reiterate, and again I'll send a copy of the letter to to all honourable members is for those people who are listening who are currently using the MyCard system and are anxious about the future, please reach out to the Social Security Division so that we can support you.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, who was speaking in the House of Keys earlier today. Well, speaking of the House of Keys, there's a Douglas East MHK who says Treasury isn't going far enough to deal with dilapidated properties and derelict buildings on the island. Joni Farragher is introducing a motion to Tim Ward later this month, which aims to give local authorities the power to impose charges on the owners of these sites. She says government should be taking a bold step and needs to ensure that it's welcoming investment, which is beneficial to residents.
I think there's a bit of a feeling that not a lot's been done in the last 4 years, and I know that government might argue that we have to have data and more information to define what the issue is, and that's why they've done the Objective Assessment of Housing Needs, or the OAN. And it genuinely is a really good report, but in some ways it tells us what we already know, which is that what we need is more homes available. So if we look at the census from 2021, that showed us that there are around 5,700 vacant properties, which is around about 15% of the island's housing stock, sitting vacant. So I think this is one lever that we can use to free up homes for people. So the idea is to give our city and towns the ability to charge fees on vacant properties, which means that owners have a reason to rent or fix up or sell those empty buildings and sites, which means more homes for people who need them. And I think as a really important side benefit of this is that it makes our neighbourhoods more attractive. So it removes that eyesore element of derelict and vacant sites and buildings. And it protects nearby property values from the drag of long-term vacancy. So it's just positives all round, I think.
So have you spoken to the council or any of the other local authorities about your motion, and what do they think?
I've spoken with several councillors over the last 4 years that I've been elected for, and this has been something that's come up kind of repeatedly that they would like to see, and they would like more power to actually do something about. That's not to say that Douglas City Council themselves as a whole have indicated their support. Individual councillors that I've spoken with have met with the council more recently, though, to discuss, you know, their feelings about this. And like I say, individual councillors are very supportive. I have, as much as I can, I've liaised with them. And I think this is something that they're quite overwhelmingly supportive of.
That's the Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher, who was talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. 21 and a half minutes past five. Well, the Great North Air Ambulance Service, which covers the North East, Cumbria and the Isle of Man, has launched an urgent appeal to fund a vital third helicopter. Their current aircraft are nearing the end of service, which they say risks lower response times for patients in critical need. Amy has this report.
The service needs to raise £2.5 million to secure the new helicopter and protect emergency care for the regions they cover. It says demand for its life-saving missions continues to grow across the North East, Cumbria and the Isle of Man. The charity, which operates without government funding, says it's facing a critical moment as its current Dauphin N3 helicopters near the end of their economically viable life. They say rising maintenance costs and a shortage of spare parts mean the service risks scaling back operations unless a replacement aircraft can be secured. To maintain full coverage, GNAS needs to raise £2.5 million to pay the deposit for a third state-of-the-art helicopter. This would restore its three aircraft fleet, allowing two helicopters to remain operational while one is undergoing maintenance. Chief Executive Officer Joe Garcia, MBE, says the additional aircraft would strengthen emergency coverage across the charity's vast operating area. GNAS responds to more than 2,000 critically ill or injured people every year, providing advanced medical care before patients reach hospital. The service covers more than 8,000 square miles, and the new appeal, called Operation SOS Secure Our Service, aims to safeguard the charity's future for the next decade and beyond. So far, GNAS has received a donation covering around 8% of the required total, but says public support is now vital to ensure the service continues at full strength. Mr. Garcia says the public support has always fueled our missions and equipped our crews. This appeal isn't about day-to-day costs, it's about securing the future of emergency care across our entire community. The charity must raise £9.3 million annually to remain operational, equating to around £25,200 every day.
Amy Griffiths reporting there. You can find a link to the GNAS fundraising site on the Manx Radio page. 24 minutes past five. So for many of us, the lights and music and the bustle of the Christmas season is really what makes it so exciting. But for those in the community who are neurodivergent, it can be really overwhelming. One island venue, though, is hoping to make Christmas inclusive for those with special educational needs. Zen at the Glen in Doon is organising a special Zen Santa's Grotto. Kate Burquist has been telling Amy more about it.
I worked at the Alaman College for a long time and worked primarily the latter part of my career with autistic people. So I've always worked in that capacity with that particular demographic of people. So when I took on the cafe, I thought I would like to employ some autistic staff. I'd like to give them that opportunity in the workplace and an employability pathway. So it started from there, which we do have three autistic staff now, and one of our staff does do our books as well. And then a Christmas, when we were going to put on the Santa trams, the conversation arose about, do we do a Zen grotto for those who don't like the traditional grottos? So everything just aligned for me why we should offer this grotto, because if you think about a traditional grotto, it's so overstimulating, and ours will be too. Not the Zen grotto, by the way, but the Frozen at the Glen grotto. There'll be lots of lights, there'll be Santa characters, there'll be live music, there'll be fire pits, whereas the Zen grotto will be less stimulating. There'll be less loud music, we'll turn some of the lights off, we'll allow Santa to come anywhere that the child wants. So if the child wants to see Santa in the Glen, for example, they can. They don't have to go into the grotto. It's going to be a little bit slow and a little bit more gentle, and the staff team on that day will all be autistic. The conversation obviously arose from our team, but it was also parents had come forward and requested it. So we've just come together with them and we've taken their guidance, really. I've taken guidance from my team because they're autistic, so they know better than me what to deliver on the day. But also we've took guidance from Zen parents and what they think their children will need. But we still got tickets and we've put another session on, so there is two sessions. They are on Monday, the 22nd of December. That's the other session that's got availability. But if they go onto our website, zenattheglen.com, they can see what availability is available on both those grottos.
That is Kate Burquist, who is talking to Amy there. Those special Santa grottos are taking place, as she said, on the 14th and the 22nd of December. And those dates are specifically for Zen children and their families. There are plenty of other events taking place there as well. You can find everything you need to know at zenattheglen.com. So it's just gone 26 and a half minutes past five. Time for some sports news now with Darren Timpson. Good evening.
Good evening. Starting in hockey, two Isle of Man junior squads secured wins at the weekend. Competing in the England Hockey Championships, the under 14 boys and under 16 girls both came home with victories. The boys thumped Sandbach 6-1, while the girls beat Deeside Ramblers 4-2. Elsewhere, the under 16 boys side were beaten 6-5 after shuffles to Timperley. Last but not least, the under 16 girls lost 5-2 to Preston, and the under 18 boys were beaten 6-1 by Chester. On to athletics, Isle of Man's Krista Kane finished second in the Athens 10km on Sunday. Competing in the Greek Championships, Krista finished on the women's podium with a new personal best of 34 minutes and 46 seconds, over a minute behind winner Anastasia Marinakou. The Manx athlete was invited to take part in the event by ProDirect Sport and Adidas. The weekend also saw the Athens Marathon take place, with Krista the only overall British runner to finish on the podium over the 2 days. In rugby, Vagabonds Ladies are set to stay with an Isle of Man-based sponsor. Gallagher Insurance will renew its deal with the island's only women's rugby team. The sponsorship will see the team's kit provided for, and with the insurance broker featuring on the home and away kits. It's also set to include community come and try sessions to encourage more women and girls to get involved in the sport. And in martial arts, an Isle of Man Taekwondo competitor won 3 gold medals at the British Championships last week. Nino Ontoy brought home the top prizes in the under 30 individual, pair and team divisions at the 2025 British Taekwondo National Poomsae Championships. He picked up his 4th consecutive individual title and his 13th British gold overall. Nino expressed gratitude for the strength and blessings that have guided him.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. And as ever, as we always say, we have got the Manx Radio Sports page on the website. And if there's anything to let us know about, do get in touch. You can do that via the Manx Radio Sports Facebook page. But that is all from Update tonight. Now, coming up next, it's a change of schedule for this Tuesday, and it's for Armistice Day, an Island Life special. And Siobhan Fletcher brings us this special programme on the day people across the nation pause to remember those who've died in conflict and served in our armed forces. We're going to hear more about the Manx Forces who had a slightly different experience of war. So in this programme, Siobhan talks to Dr. Stacey Astle, whose grandfather was captured in Crete. So that's coming up next at 5:30, and it will be available shortly afterwards as a podcast. Then at 6 p.m, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. At 9, it's The Folk Show with John Barker. And then Rhiann will be looking after After Hours from 10 p.m. tonight. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a lovely one. Remember that yellow weather warning in place until 9 p.m. for heavy rain. And Update will be back with you at 5 p.m. tomorrow.